Welcome to the Tribune Podcast. Fußball is done and dusted in 2017. The German Cup is over, so it's time for our half-season review. With 2 minutes on the clock for each team, Matt Ford and I, Jonathan Harding, will sum up what's gone right and what's gone wrong so far for the 18 Bundesliga teams. From sacked coaches and winless runs to new heroes and young pretenders, strap yourselves in for the 2017-18 mid-season review on the Tribune Podcast. Right, Matt, let's start at the beginning and start with Augsburg, who...
Augsburg, letter A.
Letter A, let's start at the top. Ninth in the table after the first 17 games, 24 points. Sensational begin to the season. Where do you want to start?
Yeah, it has been quite sensational. I think, well, especially for me, when they when the season got started, I think I said at the start of the season at some point, I had them down as... fairly nailed on relegation candidates.
Yeah,
they only survived last season. Was it on the last day of the season or the penultimate day of the season? They survived. But Manuel Baum's done an absolutely outstanding job. They were as high as fifth early on in the season. It really was. But then again, when you consider the strike force that he's put together there, Finn Bogason, Gregovic and Kayubi, there's goals galore.
Definitely.
In that team. A couple of highlights. Obviously, they beat RB at home. Unlucky results against Hanover and Schalke. They've been impressive.
Do you think they can build on it? Well, you know, we're second half of the season. Is it a case of, you know, one good half and maybe an average second half, or can they actually stay in the top 10?
Maybe top 10 might be a slightly too big an ask come the end of the season, but. And it all depends on if those main men can keep firing, I suppose. Obviously, there's already been interest from Manchester City regarding Philipp Max,
yeah,
hasn't
absolutely.
There, given the number of assists that he's provided this season. A winter transfer is probably far too soon and out of the question. But if that squad can stay together this season, then a top half finish.
Sounds like, yeah,
why not?
Sounds like a feasible option for Augsburg if they keep going. But hats off to Manuel Baum, because
it says an awful lot about Manuel Baum. Yeah, yeah, certainly. I think a lot of the credit there has got to go to him. There were comments last season that he hadn't quite got to grips with that squad, but he's certainly stamped his personality and his own identity on that team this season. Very impressive.
Absolutely. Right, 2 minutes done. Clock says move on. Let's go to the second team in the alphabet, which leads us to Bayern Munich. Top of the table.
Who?
Who's that?
Bayern Munich.
Who? Top of the table, 41 points. So many things to talk about, but only 2 minutes to discuss them. Depth, you know, Carlo Ancelotti out, Jupankas in. What a turnaround. They've obviously just signed Sandro Wagner for the second half of the season. Is this what we expected from Bayern, though? I think that's the fair question.
Certainly not what we expected. They've enjoyed a bit of an up and down season that you very, very rarely see from them. Regarding Sandro Wagner, that's going to be my question to you, John. Do you think that's the sort of caliber of striker that Bayern need to be signing, or is it an ideal move in the middle of the season?
In the middle of the season, it's a perfect signing. You know, a player like that, you've got to have some depth in attack. It's been their biggest problem in the past that they didn't have any backup options for Lewandowski. He's proved at Hoffenheim that he can be part of that flowing kind of attack that's become systematically associated with German football of late. I think it's a sensible signing. Whether it works out for him for the World Cup or not, I'm not sure. But given Bayern's...
And also whether he's the calibre of player that can deliver goals in Champions
League.
Yeah,
maybe. But given Bayern's season, you know, I think they've made a smart move there. I mean, apart from giving him a terrible number.
He's playing it right back, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, what about their season so far? Obviously, the loss of Carlo Ancelotti was that turning point. Bringing in Jupp Heynckes seems to be a masterstroke.
Jupp Heynckes was obviously a surprise move. It caught everyone on the hop a little bit, didn't it? But it seems to have worked. He's restored that famous Mia San Mia that Uli Hoeneß is constantly banging on about. But there must be something to it.
Are they going to win six in a row?
Certainly. I can't see them catching up. I mean, the nearest contenders there, Schalke, doing an outstanding job, and we'll come on to them. But that's too big a gap to pick up. So it's six in a row for me so far. And that's a debate for the end of the season as to where that leaves German football.
That's another podcast in itself. On to the third team, 2 minutes up. Cologne. Wow, 18th. 6 points from 17 games. Peter Stöger came, brought so much success, and then he left again. And now we have Mr. Ruthenbeck in charge until the end of the season. It seems like they were able to finally win a game, but it doesn't look good, does it?
from top to bottom, yeah, indeed. Not just back into Cologne, but from last season's euphorics to this season. Yeah, I was at the Wolfsburg game at the weekend, and they finally scraped it out. It was yet another absolutely dire performance and a horrible afternoon, but they somehow got there. The injury list has been absolutely obscene.
It really has. I mean, it was at 13 or 14 players at one point. And at that stage, you know, it doesn't matter who the head coach is, does it? I mean, it's a difficult job.
It doesn't. And I mean, some of the rumours that have been coming out of that club since suggesting that it was actually a lot of personal jealousies and personal issues between Jörg Schmatke, the sporting director, and Peter Sturger, which led to a lack of communication in the transfer market, which led to them being unable to build on that positive finish last season. It's such a shame when you think that that's a club where everyone thought they turned a corner. And you thought this season, clearly not. The one bright spark for me looking at Cologne with the performances of Timo Horn.
Yeah, but can he hold on to them? That's the question. I mean, you know, coming up to a season, they're going to go down probably, and he's going to be one of the players that's going to go, surely.
Oh, there's absolutely no chance that Timo Horn would stay. And why should he? For me, obviously, you can, looking abroad, like some like Andre Ter Stegen, but in terms of German goalkeepers in the Bundesliga,
he's got to be up there, right?
After Manuel Neuer, for me, he's the
Where's he off to then?
Yes, where's he off to? Good point. Come back to me on that.
I'll call you again. So Cologne are going down. We're pretty sure about that, right?
Yeah, it looks like it. Unfortunately for that,
are they coming back up straight away, or
If they start building right now, they've brought in Armin Fee, haven't
they? Yeah. Well, let's see whether that works.
Sporting director, which I think, given the situation, is probably a decent move in hindsight. People were saying, oh, it's only Armin Fee. Well, no, come on, you're effectively a Division 2 team now. Who else are you going to get?
Yeah, and that's what he said at his press conference. Let's see whether it works out.
And if they start planning for that right now, then they've got a season and a half to prepare for promotion from the second division.
Let's see.
So that'll be my
Dortmund approach. Next up, ABCD. Third in the league, but that tells a bit of a lie considering the tumultuous half a season that they've had so far. 28 points, but Peter Bosz was a historic starter and then a terrible finisher, and he was fired, and Peter Sturger, the Windows coach, was brought in, and now they're out of the cup and they're out of the Champions League and out of the title race.
Yeah, results went their way on the final day of the season, didn't they? Which I think before that were they were down near eighth.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that shows how tight it is there. I mean, they are they third or fourth?
They're third, I think, on goal difference.
Third, wasn't it? But they're level on points with three.
Yeah, there are
teams,
four teams, I believe, on 28 points.
On 28 points, yeah. Again, a huge change of form surrounding a change in manager. So there is something to be said about that, isn't there? About the changing the identity and the attitude in the dressing room.
But what has Borussia Dortmund got wrong? How is it that they've gone from... It seems like post-Klopp, they've really struggled to find their identity and find the right coach.
Again, there's been... I'd say one of the issues would be tensions between the hierarchy around Watzke and Zorc and the manager in question, whether it's that's the personal issues that they had with Thomas Tuchel, or perhaps being slightly too close and having too much faith in Peter Bosz, because they held on to him for quite a while when it seemed that everything was falling apart, which you can also say fair play for that, for sticking by your coach, but it really wasn't working, because that brings us on to the second issue, which would have been the coach in question. Peter Bosz, who seemed attacking-wise and going forward, plenty of ideas, plenty of attack, plenty of exciting football, some outstanding results in the first half of the Hinrunde. However, absolutely neglected to do any work on that back four.
And they've paid the price, haven't they?
Yeah,
will they finish in the top four?
I think they're finishing in the top four, because I think they've probably got slightly more about them.
Fair enough.
Than the teams around them. So, yeah, but yeah, certainly a nasty reminder for Borussia Dortmund as to exactly how far away they are from Bayern Munich at the moment.
Well, that seems to be quite far away looking at this half a season. Next up, Frankfurt, 8th, 26 points. Only 2 points behind Dortmund in third. That tells you exactly, as you just said, how close it is. Niko Kovac seems to be doing a fairly decent job there. Marco Fabian out injured. They brought in Kevin Prince-Boateng. Looked like a risk. Has worked out. Sebastian Haller scoring all the goals. Looks like Frankfurt doing exactly what they should be doing, right?
I think it looks like Niko Kovac doing exactly what he does. It's a steady progress. And one of the most interesting things about Frankfurt is the internationalness of that squad. Nationalities from all over the world, different cultures and different languages, and he's clearly brought them all together. Obviously, Kovac himself and his brother grew up in a foreign country themselves, didn't they? And have showed how well they can integrate.
It says a lot about the team. Absolutely.
Yeah, very steady. However, they scored the least amount of goals in the top half, and they scored 20. No other team in the top half of the league has scored less than that. But they do have the second best defence in the league. Only Bayern have conceded fewer than 18 goals. So that certainly shows that Kovac is looking to build on a defence before going any further. However, like you said, Sebastian Haller up front is an outstanding job. He's coming in, 6 goals, very impressive. And one of my all-time favourites at Frankfurt, Ante Rebic, I think, has been impressive again.
Just needs to get his professionalism, his level of intensity at the right gauge. Otherwise, he's going to be in trouble. But
he does. But he's got an incredible amount of pace when he comes off that left wing. I think he's a very exciting player.
Definitely. And let's see if Frankfurt can hold on to some of those players going into next season. If they lose Radetzky, it could be in trouble.
Fingers crossed, but then you get to the issue which we see time and time again, is that should they end up sneaking into a Europa League place, are they going to have the resources to build a squad which is capable of handling with that battle on two fronts?
It's going to be close, given how tight it is at the top. Freiburg, next up, in 13th with 19 points. Although, judging how close it is down at the bottom, they could be a lot further down were it not for a couple of late results that went their way at the end of the first half of the season. Christian Streich doing a great job.
It went their way, incredible.
It really did. I mean, not even just looking at the Cologne game, but that sneaky 1-0 win against Gladbach also doing them favours. Do we think that Streich has still got the right touch for this team?
If you ask me personally, I think he does, and I think he's helped in that by the general attitude around SC Freiburg. We compared them to Cologne at one point, didn't we, briefly? I think I was talking to some of the Cologne fans on their trip to Schalke, and they were mentioning him as well, saying there seems to be an acceptance in Freiburg that they are a much smaller club from a much smaller region, that they don't expect to be challenging for the biggest honours season after season. They're not a big city club like Cologne or Dusseldorf or Nuremberg. And that attitude certainly helps Christian Streich. That's not to say that there isn't ambition in that club. They've qualified for the Europa League a couple of times in recent years, and that's fine. But there does seem to be an acceptance of where they are in that often spoke about Bundesliga food chain.
Yeah, they've accepted their role in the place of things, and I think that allows them to go forward. And Niels Pettersson scoring goals helps that as well, I'm sure.
Yeah, that always helps, and they've missed Florian Niederlechner. He's been out quite a while as well, hasn't he? He's missed quite a few games, so it's always difficult for them. That's added to the loss of Maximilian Philipp, of Vincenzo Grifo. If they went back down, obviously the results towards the end of the Hinrunde has given them more than a fighting chance of staying in the league, given that Hamburg seem to be up to their old tricks again.
Well, speaking of Hamburg, let's move on to them.
Speaking of Hamburg,
17th with 15 points. They haven't found their place in the bigger picture like Freiburg have. Marcus Gisdol seems to have got it wrong after getting it right for just enough amount of time. Herbert Bruchhagen has extended his contract, but are Hamburg going to extend their stay in the Bundesliga to yet another year? Doesn't look like it.
It doesn't, does it? But then again, we've had to say that over the past 5 or 6 years. It's got to the point where I always find when you're talking to opposition fans about Hamburg, there's this mixture of 50-50. 50% will Hamburg just please go down, just be relegated. They've had more than enough chances. But there also seems to be another 50% you seem to have a grudging respect for them, the way they can absolutely hang on by their fingertips year in, year out.
I think there's
out.
Something to be said about the fact that they obviously have a big fan base and that they bring a lot of supporters to the league. And I think that's something that the Bundesliga can ill afford to lose. But on the other hand, is this a case of Hamburg just having to accept their role and accept that actually the best thing for the club would be to go down?
They're problems of their own making, aren't they? They really are the absolute classic case of a huge footballing institution being run like an absolute basket case. they're heavily in debt, are constantly negative net spend year in, year out, reliant on Dr. Kuhner's investments. Who knows how long that will continue.
Can they stay in the league? That's the question.
This season, I'm going to say, unfortunately, no, time might be up. And then the question arises, are they going to do a Stuttgart? Will it do them good? Will it
do some sense to the club,
give them a chance to do it, or do a Paderborn?
Well, time will tell. Then on to another H, Hannover, 11th in the league, 23 points. Andre Breitenreiter returning to the Bundesliga after his famous year at Schalke, and seems to have got it right, found the right club, getting the right results.
Yeah, I think for me, along with Augsburg, one of the surprise packages of the season, started off absolutely incredibly. I've got written out here: win, win, draw, for the first for their opening five, six awesome. Games. Impressive wins away at Mainz, impressive win over Schalke. However, they do seem to have collapsed a little bit towards the end, and they do have this tendency to concede a lot. You know, they ship goals against Bremen, against Hertha, against Leverkusen.
Not got that extra quality goalkeeper. I mean, that game against Leverkusen to finish the end of the first half of the season was pretty spectacular, but it showed all their qualities and their flaws at the same time.
It's one of those classic games, wasn't it, where you look at, you look at entertaining football from both teams. They both went for it. There's absolutely zero attempt to defend. On the one hand, you can, from a pure footballing point of view, you can criticise that, of course. But we're here for entertainment, aren't we? And
that certainly ticked the boxes.
That was certainly entertainment. I think also they got an interesting mix up front. Obviously, Martin Hanek came up. Was he the top scorer in the second division last season? I think when they came up. And he's continued his goal scoring, but added to that, Elas Bebu has been one of my stars.
And they got Jonathan, of course, that record signing that they brought in, who scored that cheeky little goal against Schalke to get the win. So,
yeah, got off to a fantastic start, but he's had a couple of issues of injuries since, hasn't he?
Still.
Fair play to Hannover. The interesting one to watch in the second half of the season, though, is how a lot of the politics develop off the pitch in Hannover. Obviously, the ultras have been boycotting, haven't they? They've been refusing to sing because they've got the looming takeover of Martin Kind, which we discussed with fan representatives on this podcast. So it'll be interesting to see how that develops in the second half of the season. As yet, Martin Kind has been thwarted in his attempts, but we'll see how that progresses.
See whether they can keep things together on the pitch, even if it falls apart off it. Hertha Berlin, 10th, 24 points. They've had a fairly successful spell in Europe, I guess you could say, in terms of experience for their young players. Pau Dardai seems to be doing a fairly solid job again with the capital club.
Definitely, for me, especially given the squad and the circumstances in Berlin, I think for me, Pau Dardai has approached that challenge of playing in the Europa League as well in the most sensible way of any manager in the top six, really. I think he said right from the outset that they're in it purely for experience, purely to give these lads a little bit of international exposure, and they've done really, really well. And they also showed on occasion that they do have the mentality, they do have the ingredients to mix it with the best. An impressive 2-2 draw at home to Bayern, albeit managerless Bayern at the time. That incredible 3-2 win away.
And in David Leipzig and David Soker, they have a quality striker, it seems.
Again, my main man for them, as far as I'm concerned. I think he's been extremely impressive. He seemed to have a little bit of an extra fire in his belly for that game in Leipzig, didn't he? He seemed to want to have something to prove. And what I enjoyed was that when he scored, he didn't do that strange modern phenomenon of refusing to celebrate against your former club. He went for it.
He absolutely did. Well, let's see if Hertha can try and finish above Leipzig at the end of the season, although, to be honest, that might be too big an ask. Right,
that might be asking a little bit too much.
That is halfway through. We'll join us again in part two for the second nine teams in the Bundesliga review of the first half of the season here on the Tribune Podcast. Right, part two. Welcome back. Hoffenheim is the team that gets us underway here. 7th in the table, 26 points. Seems like a fairly decent return for Julian Nagelsmann, despite, obviously, the fact that he's lost... Well, considering he's lost Niklas Süle, Sebastian Rudi, and now Sandro Wagner over the winter break. But there were some question marks about how his first outing in Europe went and whether he's necessarily taken the step forward that many expected him to this season.
Yeah, you said a decent return for Nagelsmann, but yeah, maybe given the circumstances and the departures that you mentioned, you can argue that. But I must admit, my first thought is that I think it's a step back. Obviously, a few of the circumstances are against him, but given the quality that we know that Julian Nagelsmann has as a manager and his ability to foresee, to prepare, to analyse data intricately, I think he would have expected so much more. I mean, they knew they were going to be in the Europa League. They knew about that double challenge on two or three fronts. And they don't seem to be prepared for it well enough in the way that I would have expected from a team under Julian Nagelsmann.
What about next season? Does he go sort of the next 6 months? Is this like an audition now for bigger jobs? Obviously, there's been lots of reports about him going to Dortmund and whatnot, but has he got to get it right now?
Well, initially it was Bayern, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We wouldn't talk about that, but that seems to have been put on the back burner somewhat. Obviously, at one point, Hoeneß wanted Hankers to stay on even longer. It seems now that Dortmund are actually the front runners. Indeed, they wanted him to take over in January, didn't they?
I mean, is it too soon, though? I mean, are you talking about wanting to get a bit more experience if that European outing wasn't as good? Does he need another year, not just 6 months?
For me, yes, he does. And I think given the standing and the stature that he has at Hoffenheim, I think we can think whatever we want of the club, but Dietmar Hopp has created some professional structures at that club. Nagelsmann's been there for 5 or 6 years altogether. He knows it inside out. He has a lot of say, a lot of control at that club, and he commands an awful lot of respect. He's built a lot of that up himself. For me, yes, I would stay there one more season, especially if he manages to keep Hoffenheim in those Europa places again, to give himself one more season, proving that he can do it.
And will Hoffenheim get into the top? I don't want to say top four, it's probably a bit too tight at the top, but will they make a Europa League spot?
I think top four is a bit too much, but Europa League should be okay. But then they're going to need to invest again because they've lost key players. The whole span of the team has gone, hasn't it? In Zula, Hoodie and Wagner.
Yeah, absolutely.
Although the return of Marc Uth has been outstanding.
Well, his contract runs out in the summer as well, so going to have to do some work in the boardroom. On to Leipzig, who are fifth. Surprise, surprise, 28 points, but obviously, as we know, it's very close at the top, so it's just down to a matter of goals. Are they underperforming considering the depth of their squad and the fact that they are playing a different game, really?
I wrote a piece towards the end of the season, didn't I? In my opinion, yeah, they are underperforming. When you consider the resources behind them, a similar situation to Hoffenheim, they would have seen this coming. The whole purpose of that club was to provide the biggest stage possible for Red Bull, wasn't it? And they were in the Champions League, and that wasn't good enough. With all due respect to Porto, to Benfica, and to Monaco, that's a group that the second best team in Germany, on paper, should be getting out of.
Besiktas, sorry.
Yeah, there's absolutely no excuse.
But how is it that clubs like this, or in this case Leipzig, how is it that they've got it so wrong, considering they have such great coaches in Ralf Hasenhüttl and also Ralf Rangnick?
The quality of the coaching is not in question, I don't think. I think in a mitigating factor, you can bring in the absence of Emil Forsberg for key games. We're seeing games where, despite the potency they have going forward, they do miss that creativity, don't they? I think as much as the likes of Jean-Kévin Augustin and Bruma have been very exciting to watch, they are still quite young, still quite raw. Incredible on occasion, but wasteful and uncomposed at others. They're going to lose Kate at the end of the season.
I was going to say, are they too reliant on him? Because I feel like when they play well, it's because he plays well. I feel that sometimes that they just don't have a plan that doesn't work outside of his quality.
Maybe they are, but I'm always quite hesitant to accuse them of not having a plan because of the intense way that Rangnick has planned this.
Or is it just that he's so important, Kate, for that plan? That without him, it doesn't work as well.
Perhaps, and maybe that's a slight flaw in this 4-2-2-2 high-pressing, rapid transitional system that we see them playing, which can be absolutely devastating on occasions, as we saw, I think, the game away at Dortmund, when they were probably their best performance of the season. But then we saw them absolutely torn apart by Hoffenheim, 4-0.
Yeah, there's some work to be done, I think. Can they make the most of their European outing in the Europa League?
If I was them in their position, I certainly would. I think it's still an incredible achievement, given that the club didn't exist 9 years ago. There they are in Europe's second competition. I do wonder, however, if there is a slightly, hugely misplaced arrogance around the club where they believe they're too good for the Europa League. And that would be a huge error to make. Quickly, before we move on from them, goalkeeper Peter Gulacsy, absolutely incredible. And he's been given a new contract, hasn't he?
He has. Wow. If you do well, you get rewarded.
He's had a very good season.
Well, one side not in danger of being arrogant at all are Bayer Leverkusen. They're in fourth. They got 28 points as well. And Heiko Herrlich has surprised everyone, ourselves included. I certainly tipped them to have a very difficult season, but they've gone the complete other way. And that's down to a number of reasons, but their coach probably the number one.
Coach number one. And going forward in attack, point number two, I'd say. Lucas Olario has been a very impressive and fairly left field sign, I'd say. And I think most impressively, Heiko Herrlich has managed to get the best out of Leon Bailey, who's for me been their main man. Been their main man this season. Given obviously they're one of the teams on 28 points at the top there, aren't they? Do you think that's enough to keep them in contention for the top four? I mean, they're up against Gladbach, Schalke, and Dortmund again, aren't they?
That's always the challenge, and we've talked about this before. You know, lots of sides on 28 points, and sides like Leverkusen and Schalke who've actually played much better this year without European football. That's obviously the conundrum that these sides face. You know, they want to get back into Europe, but can they actually handle Europe and domestic action? And I feel like at the moment not very many sides in Germany are capable of doing that. I think Leverkusen have certainly got enough about them. They've shown certainly enough quality in the first half of the season that they can carry it down the stretch. The question will be whether they can win those games against teams like Schalke, Gladbach and Dortmund, the other sides that are pushing for a top four spot. So that'll be the telling tale for me. But so far, Heiko Herrlich has done a fantastic job.
Yeah, perhaps he's tightened up at the back a little bit. I mean, they did. There have been heavy defeats, and of course, they shipped far away at Hanover, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, you can't let those things happen. But I mean, if you can tidy that up, then you're starting to look at a top three spot rather than just chasing for the four. So far, certainly,
there's certainly enough European pedigree and investment there to build a squad which should be competing.
And the danger is, of course, if they don't, then a lot of players will probably start looking elsewhere. Mainz in 15th with 17 points. I feel like maybe the best way to describe Mainz so far is that they're just keeping their head above water, considering the limited resources available. And let's not forget, they're still in the German Cup.
They are, yeah. I think it's a similar situation to Freiburg, really. A club which recognises where it's at, surrounded by giants of German football. Frankfurt just up the road, that's Cologne not far, Stuttgart not far. Mainz is a smaller club that seems to recognise where they are. We've praised them on numerous occasions over the years, haven't we, for the way they promote from within. There's a very strong identity at the club. Do you think there are teams in the league who are probably in a worse opposition than them?
I think that's the reason.
Should allow them to stay up.
I think that's the reason that they will survive. I think Sandro Schwarz is working with a fairly limited squad. But obviously the signing of Anthony Uggia over the winter break will give him an added boost in attack.
That's interesting, isn't it?
It is. I mean, he comes back to the club that he played for before he moved around the Bundesliga a bit. But certainly a boost to their attack, which I think is perhaps a little blunter than it was in recent seasons. Muto seems to have gone off the boil in terms of providing the goals. And obviously with René Adler out, they've got a backup keeper in with Robin Zentner. And it's just a young side trying to get to grips with the division, as you say, surrounded by teams that are much better than them and are much better stocked in terms of resources. But I do think Schwarz has got enough.
When you're losing players such as Yunus Mali and John Cordoba,
it's difficult.
To teams which aren't necessarily any better than you.
Yeah, exactly. And then you're playing in a different ballpark. But I do think that they've got enough to keep themselves in the division. And if they do, actually, Sandro Schwarz deserves a lot of credit, because as much as there might be sides around them that are worse than them, it's not an easy job to keep an average team in the Bundesliga. Mönchengladbach in sixth, 28 points. Another side on 28 points. It feels like everyone's on 28 points. Stable, solid. Obviously, Raphael keeps scoring. Thorgan Hazard has looked bright in parts. Lars Stindl playing so well that he's made himself a regular in the Germany team. But is this a case of having to get back into the top four for Gladbach, or are we on course to do that?
I don't think top four is. I think yes, it's an aim. I don't think it's as. I don't think as an important aim as it is for Schalke and Leverkusen, who I think, and Dortmund, of course, who will absolutely expect to be there. Gladbach only returned to European competition themselves a few years ago. However, given the stature of the club, their fans will certainly be expecting a push for it come the end of the season.
What about Reece Oxford and players like that have played a couple of games in Cuisance in midfield? Is it a case of young players coming through, finally getting a chance, and Gladbach once again being an example of a side that knows how to get the best out of their youngsters?
young players will always get a chance under Dieter Hecking. So I think it's I always think it's positive. I think it's a positive move when we see young English players go into the Bundesliga.
Definitely.
Although I would have liked to see more of Reece Oxford, but whether that's a case of Gladbach having no need for him or him not being quite up to the quite up to scratch tactically, I'm not sure. We hear that about a lot of English players, don't we?
Yeah.
Where German coaches then think, oh, they're not quite up to scratch when it comes to their movement off the ball or their immediate control or just simple passing ability. However, yeah, looking towards the more experienced players in that squad, it's a similar situation to the attack in Augsburg, really. They've got three main men on fire, Hazard, Raphael and Stindl. And like you said, Stindl's put himself in a position where it's going to be very difficult for Joachim Löw to leave him at home in the summer, isn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. One of the players that's impressed me the most in Mönchengladbach, though, has been Dennis Zakaria. I thought he was one of the best signings of the season in terms of the stability that he's brought to that midfield. And it's not easy.
It stood out to me on day one.
Yeah, really fantastic.
A player who I hadn't heard of, and he absolutely dominated the midfield. He didn't look out of place alongside the likes of Traore in there and Stindl just ahead of him. Didn't look out of place, so that was impressive and certainly one to keep an eye on.
So you don't think they're going to make the top four, but they will get back to Europe?
I think they may have not quite enough to get the top four coming into the year, but Europa League.
One side that looks like they are definitely going to finish in the top four is Schalke. I think everybody would say this is the surprise of the season so far. Second place over the winter break, 30 points, still in the German Cup as well.
Yeah.
Domenico Tedesco's got to be the manager of the first 6 months of the season, surely.
If you're going to pick out a star man at Schalke, then it's the manager, isn't it?
Unbelievable job.
He's done an absolutely outstanding job, and I think he's defied all those critics at the start of the season. He said he was too young, as you and Nagelsmann did as well. I think, however, where he's done something that Julian Nagelsmann has not is by demonstrating that he's also a fantastic manager. He can also buy into the culture of a huge club. Okay,
definitely.
Perhaps Nagelsmann hasn't quite had the platform to do that yet, being at Hoffenheim. But there was that suspicion that, in the famous wise words of of Mehmet Scholl, that Domenico Tedesco is only a laptop trainer. He's proven that he is so much more than that. And I think, obviously, his crowning moment was obviously the 4-0, 4-0 comeback at Dortmund, where he showed that he's not just a tactical genius, but he's also clearly got the trust of the players who literally would have run through anything for him in that game.
I mean, amazing performance. We were both there for that game. And I think, you know, there was a sign 30 minutes into the game when Dortmund were leading 4-0, and he had the courage and the knowledge to take off two players and to make two substitutions 30 minutes into a game. And not very many managers would do that. But then also following that up with saying exactly the right things at the break. I mean, he said afterwards he never believed that they could come back. But there must have been a part of him that knew exactly what to say to give his side a chance. And
yeah, it sounds quite textbook, doesn't it? Just to tell your team at 4-0 down, oh, lads, just go out and win the second half.
Yeah, exactly.
Win the second half 1-0. Win the second half 2-1. Whatever, just take some pride from it. But if that's then implemented correctly by transferring the right amount of belief to your players as well, then, yeah, I suppose part of that strategy is that once you get one, you can get two. Once you get two, you can get three. And that was absolutely textbook. It was a fantastic comeback and a fantastic day out. Going back quick to that substitution that you mentioned, one of the players you brought on was Leon Goretzka, who, if we're going to pick out one player, I think he's had an impressive season. Do you think he'll stay?
Yeah, I think that's the big question mark for Schalke. I don't know whether he will. I think he feels like he's ready to move on, and part of me feels like he's entitled to do that so long as he does it in the right way. The question for me is whether Schalke can deal with that departure. They haven't necessarily dealt well with big players leaving in the past, but I feel very confident that under this manager and this setup with Christian Heidel in the background working his magic, as it were, that this squad is going in the right direction. And finishing second after the first 17 games certainly bodes well, and getting into the Champions League for next season would be all mighty for them, absolutely
plus,
no
plus,
doubt.
Plus a cup semi-final and maybe more.
Who knows? Gosh, imagine the mayhem if Schalke or Leverkusen finished in the top four and got to the cup final. Who knows? Stuttgart, a side that haven't fared so well with a young manager in charge. 14th in the table, 17 points. Hannes Wolf looked like he was doing really well to begin with. They had that brilliant home form that they were riding on. And then a really late dip in terms of form, and now they're looking very firmly over their shoulder at a relegation battle. But have signed Mario Gomez, which might have been the most surprising move of the winter transfer window.
Yeah, and another high-profile return. Obviously, bit of a, I'd say a bit of a legend down there in,
definitely.
In Stuttgart, Mario Gomez. I think they probably exceeded expectations in that start. Again, another young manager, an extremely young squad. There was a reason why they brought in Holger Badstu, wasn't it? Just to add some to add some experience to that team, especially at the back. But they were very impressive. And like I said, that outstanding home record. I think they were unbeaten at home until the Leverkusen game, weren't they? And they probably should have got a point out of the Bayern game as well at home, which was a very impressive performance. So, yeah, despite that slight drop towards the end of the season, there have been signs that all is not lost there. And I think on balance, there are probably teams in slightly worse situations than Stuttgart.
Do we think 13 goals so far in the first half of the season, that's a pretty terrible return? And obviously the reason that Mario Gomez was turned to, Michel Reschke working his magic to bring in a goal scorer. Do we think that that's going to be the difference for Stuttgart?
I think it showed a difference. I mean, we can sometimes criticise the quality in the Bundesliga itself, but there's clearly still a gap to the second division, isn't there? Because I think they placed a lot of emphasis on Simon Tervoda, see whether he could replicate his goal scoring from last season. It's simply not worked. So I think that's a clever move. Bringing in Mario Gomez.
Wow. Sure Stuttgart fans are excited about pressing the button. Hopefully it's the one that says we're staying in the top division. Werder Bremen, another side battling relegation fears. 16th with 15 points, although that's a lot better than it was for the first few weeks of the season. They've decided that Alexander Nuri wasn't the man, and now that Florian Kohfeldt will be the man going forward. Is this a case of nobody really wants the Werder Bremen job, so we're just going to keep giving it to guys internally and hope that it works out one day?
Yeah, I think you put it bluntly. Yeah, that's pretty much the nail on the head. We discussed it a few weeks ago, didn't we? Saying how it can be read two ways, and when clubs are promoting from within, it can be read in a way that Mainz are doing it, and they do it very, very particularly. That's clearly the plan, and absolutely hats off to them. Given the coaches they've brought through, Bremen, they seem to want to sell it as being a similar plan, although we promote from within. But I think it's a case of the opposite. I don't think anyone wants the job.
Doesn't say much about Werder Bremen. What about Max Kruse? I mean, obviously, he's such an important player for them. They've got no Finn Bartels going in for the next 6 months, it looks like. So they'll obviously be a bit thin in attack. But is it a case of when he doesn't play, Werder Bremen don't come to play? Obviously, Delaney in midfield, another big player. But without his goals, they just seem a bit blunt.
Yeah, I think they're missing Serge Gnabry a lot, aren't they? Of course, but I think that was probably to be expected. Finn Bartels will be a huge loss in second. Is he out for the whole season, or how long?
It seems like that Achilles problem is going to keep him out for the majority of the second half.
That's a huge blow, and then you're reliant on Max Kruse, who is not the youngest anymore. A great goal scorer on his day, although I think. Suggestions that he might even come near the World Cup squad a little bit too far.
Well, it says a lot about Germany's depth in attack.
Yeah, well, don't forget if Sandro Wagner can get a game.
Who knows? Wolfsburg in 12th, 19 points, perhaps the most blandest season that they could have had, which probably works perfectly with Wolfsburg, the club. Bit up and down, draw specialists when they brought in Martin Schmidt, who just didn't seem like he wanted to win. But they have
seven draws in a row, I think, wasn't
seven
it?
Seven draws in a row, club history right there. Says a lot about Wolfsburg. Mario Gomez, the captain, has now gone. Is this a case of Wolfsburg once again struggling to find their identity for another 6 months of draws and wins and losses that keeps them in mid-table and very unexciting? Or are they going to turn things around and Schmidt's going to guide them back into Europe?
It's like Groundhog Day, isn't it? Here we are at Christmas again asking what Wolfsburg are.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, every year, same thing.
No one seems to know. I think Martin Schmidt's a manager I like a lot. I think he's brought, and I think he was probably the best option possible when they decided that things weren't quite working out. Seven draws in a row, all right, yeah, we can scoff at it and say, oh, he doesn't want to win. One of them was a 2-2 draw away at Bayern Munich, which I think needs highlighting.
Absolutely. And a draw against Schalke in the last minute.
And the last minute draw against Schalke, yeah. So there were a couple of good results in there as well, and you followed that up with a victory too. I think Yeah, the issue is up front. I don't think they're scoring anywhere near enough goals given the quality that they have. I think Daniel Didavi should be scoring more than five. Younes Mali should be scoring more than four. And Origi, they've brought in on loan from Liverpool, haven't they?
Well, he knows how to miss. Knows how to miss.
Well, he knows how to miss. Yeah, certainly. Oh, that was incredible, wasn't it? I'd forgotten about that.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Well, maybe Wolfsburg will surprise us all and turn things around. But we'll...
Although I thought, like I said, the last time I had a good look at them was the defeat against Cologne, where I thought that was, I mean, the conditions weren't ideal because the pitch was a state, but even so, that wasn't clever. Admittedly, they could have got another draw out of that towards the end, Timo Horn with a couple of good saves.
Absolutely.
So that could have been another draw for Wolfsburg.
Let's see if they draw their way to the end of the season. Right, that wraps it up for the half-season review. If you have any teams or any points that we've missed on any of the teams that we've talked about, then drop us a line on Facebook, on Twitter, or even on iTunes, if drop us a review on the show. Just a couple of things before we go. Matt, if you had to pick your top three players of the first 6 months of the season, I think I know a couple of the ones that I would go for, but I'll let you go first and we can exchange a few ideas in terms of key performers and players that you think that if they hadn't been playing well, then the team's performance would have been drastically affected.
Okay, well, the first one I'm going to point out is Davy Selke at Hertha Berlin. Four goals so far. I think he's proven that he does have the quality to be in the Bundesliga. And given that they're otherwise reliant on an ageing Solomon Kalou and a Vedad Ibisevic, then I think it's been an important signing from Pal Dardai.
Definitely could end up in the Germany team as well. In at number two?
Number two for me, and I think this is one which will certainly get you talking, Lars Stindl. I've not always been convinced down the years, but this season there's absolutely no arguments. Extremely impressive, both as a captain, both as a creative player and as a goal scorer, often arriving late into the box, and at key moments as well.
It certainly seems that way. I mean, when he was captain of Hannover, he was basically carrying the team, and he seems to have carried that nature and that ability into Gladbach as well, and deserves to be in the Germany squad next summer, as far as I'm concerned. So, yeah. Totally on board with that.
I'd go along with that as well, definitely. I don't think we can go. We mentioned Goretzka before, didn't we? But certainly a standout for me this year.
Absolutely. And then number one, or just the next one? I mean, I'm not saying this has to be number one, but if you had to put a crown on one player, who would it be?
Crown on one. I'm going to leave that one to you, John. Go on.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll go for it. I'm going to have to say it's probably a toss-up between Leon Bailey and Alfred Finnbogason, just because I know that they're strikers and my normal choice would be a defender, but I'm not convinced that the defending has been particularly good in the first half of the season in the Bundesliga. I think the way that Leon Bailey has taken steps forward in the last 6 months, Heiko Hellis deserves a lot of credit, but also so does the individual. And I know from some coaches at Leverkusen that they consider him one of the most, if not the most intelligent player in terms of tactical understanding. And I think given his age, just 20 years old, to be able to come off the bench and perform like he did against Hannover, to be able to start and make such a difference with his pace. But also his delivery as a wide player is also really, really good. And I think that goes under-noticed, under-appreciated.
So, I totally agree. It's been very impressive. One of the main moments that stands out for me from Leon Bailey was actually an action that he got involved with at the other end of the pitch against Red Bull when he tracked back to a left-back position as Bernardo was attacking and putting a tackle that any seasoned left-back would have been proud of. So he's also got that work rate in his game as well.
Yeah, bodes very impressive. Bodes very well for the future. And if I had to pick a defender, it would probably be Naldo, just because he's absolutely surprised me completely. I thought he was done and dusted, and he certainly looked that way to begin with when he moved to Schalke, but he's had a revolutionary 6 months under Tedesco.
Two impressive late goals as well.
Yeah, he knows how to score.
And Frankfurt.
Even if he leaves it late, absolutely.
We mentioned Philipp Max as well, didn't we? Ten assists from left back.
Good shout. Yeah, that was another one. Yeah, I mean, to be fair, you could probably list most of Augsburg's players given the first half of their season. Right, well, that's about it. 2017 is almost done and dusted, so we're going to look forward to more Bundesliga action in 2018 and find out whether all of our predictions and thoughts on the first 6 months and how we feel the next 6 months will go will come true. Thanks for listening, as always. Enjoy the festive period and the new year, and we'll see you on the flip side.